This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM's Morning Run, 18 minutes past 7. In about 30 minutes, we'll take a look at China's Belt and Road policies in Malaysia with Dr. Francis Hutchinson, a senior fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. But in the meantime, let's talk about human rights, because it's International Human Rights Day today, and we're taking some time to look at how the COVID pandemic has exacerbated human rights issues. According to the DC-based think tank Freedom House, democracy and respect for human rights have deteriorated since the pandemic began. Here in Malaysia too, some concerning developments this year. Just as an example, this year in May, many migrant workers were detained or had their housing areas surrounded by barbed wire in COVID-19 red zones. But how is the country faring on this front overall? For some insights on this, we speak to Dato' Ma Weng Kai, the Commissioner of Suhakam. Dato' Ma, welcome and thanks for talking to us. How has COVID-19 impacted the safeguarding of human rights in Malaysia?
The COVID-19 pandemic, of course, is causing havoc. You know, the MCO was put in place since 18th of March. It's had a very negative impact on safeguarding human rights in Malaysia. The government has been very busy fighting the pandemic outbreak itself, so much so that we don't have much time or chance to interact with ministers and other stakeholders to discuss the more current and major issues of safeguarding human rights in Malaysia. And another impact on safeguarding human rights is that we have not been as effective and in visiting detention centers and prisons because of this restriction in movement. And we have not been able, as I mentioned just now, to really have sit-downs and serious discussions with ministers, with the police and other stakeholders.
Now, treatment of migrant workers and inmates have been in particular spotlight this year. So what progress would Suhakam most like to see on this front?
Well, I think the migrant workers is one big section of the people that have been badly affected due to the closure of businesses and also termination of employment when businesses do not pick up and so on. There's been big financial loss to the migrant workers. They can't travel home and they don't have work here. So things that the Suhakam would like to see would probably be some minimum salary for the workers by their employers, with layoffs being the last of the options. And then with this problem of not just during this pandemic, but already an ongoing problem, is that work conditions are poor accommodation, health-wise. I think for migrants, they must be treated like any other citizen, given the opportunity of access to health, and to be tested if there's any signs of them being infected or if any suspicions of COVID-19 affecting them. And I think it's incumbent upon the employers to send their workers for testing and to ensure that if there is a problem, then they are not forced to go back to work until health conditions improve. As mentioned earlier, one of the negative impacts is that we have not been able to visit detention centres and prisons as often as we have done previously. So we are quite concerned as to the conditions. And what we read and hear about is that because of the lack of social distancing, which of course is understandable, in the prison you can't have much of social distancing, there is this spread of the virus in prison. So we appreciate the hard work put in by the prison authorities to try to contain this, and we only hope that all inmates would be able to have access to health as well.
Apart from migrant workers, Dato, what are the most pertinent issues and reforms that need to be given priority in addressing human rights issues in Malaysia?
Yes, overall, So human rights issues and reforms, my long shopping list would include racism and racial discrimination. It is not just something that we talk about. It is something quite real. Freedom of worship. Another area which to me causes concern as in cases of a hate speech. You start off with having hate speech and then you'll end up having hate crimes. To me, I think that it is timely that we have a law against hate speech. I know this is a very debatable point. People are talking about freedom of expression and so on. But I don't think this freedom can be absolute. There must be some restriction on it. The other law which causes concern, the Sedition Act, there are certain provisions in the Sedition Act which aren't necessary because you cannot have people going around sowing hatred and saying things that will cause problems in the country. So I think certain provisions may be a necessary evil, but I think on the balance, perhaps there's a case for retention of some of the provisions. Next issue would be statelessness. In fact, as I speak, Suhakam is planning to have a project on dealing with the question of statelessness, not just in Semenanjung, but also in particularly, in fact, in Sabah. And we are going to conduct studies and hopefully in the very near future to hold an inquiry, a national inquiry into the state of statelessness in Malaysia.
Dato, perhaps you could tell us a bit as well about the engagement Suhakam has been able to have with the current government.
Regrettably, not much of interaction with the government. And I think it can be put down to quite a few factors. I think it's all about timing. Having said that, our chairman managed to meet with the de facto Minister for Law, so Takirudin. There is a proposed meeting with the Prime Minister in January. I hope that will be held. Having said that, we haven't had many other meetings like before. Previously, we used to consult and discuss with many agencies because we are what I consider as frontliners on human rights issues. One important thing that has not happened, and regrettably, is that our annual report prepared for 2019 that was tabled to Parliament, but unfortunately it has not been debated on by the members of Parliament. Unlike the previous year, for the annual report 2018, it was not only tabled, but actually debated.
Dato, based on your observations, how have human rights progressed under the PM government? And on the basis that we know they don't have a manifesto, what do you make of their stances?
We can only judge by the actions. As you're right, we don't have a manifesto, and nobody will come up with a list and say, oh, these are things that we will do or won't do. I don't think we will get to see that. So what we will know is when certain things happen. So far, there have been no major decisions taken in the promotion of human rights in Malaysia.
That was Dato' Mah Wing Kai, Commissioner of Suhakam. And again, International Human Rights Day, very important. Beyond the time-honoured principles of respect for our fellow human beings and basically just trying to eradicate racism and prejudice and all kinds of nasty, you know, human foibles in the world, there's also an uncomfortable reality with not looking after our fellow human beings. It takes the shape of, say, for example, at the very basic minimum, petty crime. When you take away people's privileges and honour and self-respect, you take away from them a lot of things, and this manifests itself in crime, and this is something that we don't want in any society.
Yeah, I think really what is a reflection of a country or a society is how we treat the most vulnerable, those who cannot protect themselves, right? That is really, I think, how we should be judged on. But if you ask me in terms of why, you know, one of the questions is why wasn't the Suhakam report debated in Parliament, right? The argument was that, or the rationale was that there's no time because of COVID-19. But if anything, COVID-19 brings home the importance of human rights during this period. It should not be neglected. It's a day in Parliament. It could even be extended if necessary. And in the past, when it was done in 2019, it was a very robust and interesting debate. So for me, I think it's an unfortunate circumstance of time.
Well, I mean, that's not the only thing that was left by the wayside. I mean, having discussed yesterday an anti-corruption day, it just emerged. Well, I didn't know this, right? But the Public Accounts Committee had not gathered for between March and I think November because they were just not given the ability to do so. And they only appointed the members in November and met for the first time. And of course, they found a whole, you know, a whole layer of transgressions on the public spending front.
So there's a limit, right? I mean, life has to go on in this new normal. We have to find ways to communicate and have meetings.
Okay, 28 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this with the news. And then after that, more news and analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.